Welcome to True North Vineyard Podcast, where we share our Sunday gathering messages. True North is a vibrant church plant community located in Traverse City, Michigan area. We are centered in the Bible and follow the example of Jesus praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We hope that our Sunday gathering messages encourage you to lean into the Word of God and compel you to take action. To connect with us, visit our website, vineyardtruenorth.churchcenter.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True North Vineyard.
Good evening. If you guys did, Steve, can you throw up that Bible app, the QR code, just for a moment? I'm really excited about that. This is one of the coolest things that Bianca brought to my attention this week, or the last couple weeks. Sorry, we did this last week without me here. But if you guys need a moment to scan that, take a moment. I'm really excited about this because now you guys get to see how many logical fallacies I make. So I'm just joking. I'm pretty good at this. Anyway, a lot has happened the last... Yes. Did you need the microphone?
Really, I know people are still looking. I can see the QR code's not working. Okay, I don't know. Some people look like they're struggling. So just in case, if you look under events, that's where you'll find the sermon notes. So the easy way to find them on the Bible app is to go to events, and it will pop up by location. Since you're here, it knows you're here if you let it. And then you'll see it'll say True North in your church, and that will be today's notes.
Thank you, Bianca. Anyway, here we go. I am so excited, though. It's one of those things where it's like being able just to take notes in a really cool environment. I'm excited about it. So I invite you to take notes and test me on things. If you think, Jared, you're really not good at this, let me know after service. We'll talk. After service, not during service. Anyway, my bad. Oh, man, this week has been quite a week. Last week I was really geeked. Is anybody else like a big Bible theology nerd? I'm the only one in this building that's a big theology. I was really super pumped last Saturday. I had got this big old sinus infection, and I threw down eight ibuprofens. And I was like, okay, I still have to watch this debate against these two theologians. I am super stoked. So I'm like, okay, I have to watch this debate between Dr. Leighton Flowers and Dr. James White. And it's on the topic of provisionism versus Calvinism. And I'm like, yeah, this is sweet. I'm so excited. And I'm telling my wife as though I'm watching a sports event, you know. And I'm like, sweetheart, guess what? My two favorite theologians are just at war. And she's like, so... what side are you rooting for? And mind you, I've been kind of working through a lot of theology, and I've been kind of like, what am I? Am I a Calvinist now? And I've never been a Calvinist my whole life. I'm like, am I a Calvinist? Am I not a Calvinist? And I came to my wife. I was like, you know what, sweetheart? What I am is I'm a high sovereignty non-determinist. And I'm expecting her to look at me like everybody else is looking at me right now. Like, what is that? And I'm like, do I need to explain? She's like, no, you don't need to explain at all. I understand what you're saying. And I'm like, you do? And she explains a little bit. And I'm like, holy smokes, this is so hot. Like, my wife exactly knew what I was talking about. I'm like, this is awesome. And so, anyway... I'm not going to go and break that down for you tonight. That's not my sermon at all. I will talk a little bit about sovereignty, but not in the extent that they went into to debate. Anyway. We are now in Luke chapter 7. We have bridged the gap of Luke chapter 6. We are now, and I corrected myself, I actually found out that we are actually a year and 8 months into the book of Luke. We're not 2 years in. We're a year and 8 months in, and we've finally gotten to chapter 7, and I'm so stoked. So let me recap where we are just a tad bit, just so we know where we're going. The gospel, what I want to drum into you every week is that the gospel is about the story of how Jesus becomes king. That is the whole story. This story, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, It's about how Jesus becomes king. That is the central piece of information that you need to know when you read the Bible, that it's all about God's kingdom coming to bear, and now Jesus is ruling over that kingdom. So we get into Luke chapter 3, where Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And when he comes out of the river, he is baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and the Spirit takes him into the wilderness where he has to battle against 40 days of fasting and 40 days of temptation by Satan. And the biggest temptation that Jesus deals with is that moment when Satan comes and he shows him the nations of the world, and he says, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you the nations. And Jesus says, no, no one is to bow their knee to anyone but God himself, and I will worship God only. And that is when the temptation ceases. Jesus then exits triumphantly, and in the power of the Spirit, he begins to heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and begins to promote a lifestyle of love where we serve the poor, where we serve the marginalized, where we connect with our neighbor, and we overthrow evil by our actions of love towards one another. And we just talked about that in our last series. But that's where this is going. The story is about how Jesus comes onto the scene and he's overthrowing dark powers. And he's calling us into his kingdom, and he is becoming king. So today, we're going to be venturing into the passage where he is talking about healing, and healing from a specific standpoint. We're talking about his authority, that from his authority, he heals. And from his authority, we will see God heal the sick and raise the dead and move mightily. So tonight, I've entitled this message, Faith in Authority. So if you'll turn with me, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 1 through 10. You can follow me up there if you can see it. And I'm going to begin reading. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am a man under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowds that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to the house, they found the slave completely healed. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask that you would come and send your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray that you would distribute authority to us tonight, to see you fully, to experience your joy and your peace and your love and your healing. Lord, would you anoint me? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? In Jesus' name. So we see in this passage a couple fun things. Jesus comes off of the mountain in the last passage and gives his beatitudes. He's talking to everyone about how to overthrow hate by love. And he's talking demonstrably to a Jewish audience who is struggling with a Roman oppression. And the Romans had been ruling over the Jewish state in the first century, and we see that there is a massive struggle. A lot of the conversations we've been talking about have been surrounded by the idea that Israel wants to rebel and fight against Rome. But it's interesting that the passage after Jesus is talking about how to love the enemy, we see an enemy who is loving the Jewish people. It's a very interesting thing because we don't see the hatred back and forth in this piece between the Romans and the Israelites. We see a camaraderie. We see that the centurion is actually a God-fearer. He's someone who has come into the land from Rome. He rules over a contingent of 100 men, and his job is to keep the peace in northern Galilee. And he is underneath a man in Caesarea who's a general who is underneath Caesar in Rome. So what we're seeing is that we see this centurion come in and he's loving the Jewish community. He's helping them build their synagogue. He's connecting with the people who have thought that Rome is an oppressor, and yet he is actually saying, I acknowledge that your God is probably superior, that your God is sovereign. So when Jesus comes into this town that the centurion is in, the Jewish people come and say, hey, we have a friend, the centurion, who his slave is sick. He is a really good man, and we'd like you to go visit him and heal his servant. So Jesus says, absolutely, I'll go. And Jesus goes to this place. But before he gets there, the centurion says, I'm not worthy to see Jesus. Send out a contingent before me. Go tell him I'm not worthy, but I understand his authority. I recognize that he is a man under authority, just like I am under authority. If I tell my soldiers to go, they'll go. And I understand that this man belongs to God, and he has an authority that if he just speaks, that my servant will be healed. He doesn't need to come lay his hands. He doesn't need to do anything special. I understand that Jesus is under authority. That's the first thing I want to point out today. I have three points that I want to make from this centurion. Number one, we want to recognize the authority of Christ. Jesus is sovereign over all creation. The centurion notices what's on Jesus' life. Jesus is going about and he's healing the sick and he's doing miracles, he's doing good. But the centurion sees something that the Jewish people aren't seeing. The Jewish people are recognizing him as an Old Testament prophet. They're saying, oh, there is a prophet amongst us and miracles are happening and everyone's gathering around Jesus to get something. The centurion is not out to get something. The centurion says, I recognize what's on that man's life. I recognize that he is under authority. And therefore, if he says something, if he decrees it, then it will be done. It's not about getting something for the centurion. It's about recognizing that there is an authority on his life, that if I approach him correctly and I recognize who he is, then he may distribute a grace for my servant. That's what I'm looking for. It is recognizing that Jesus is sovereign. I think one of the things that I struggle with when I look at evangelicalism or Pentecostalism, or Christianity in the West as a whole, is we've turned Jesus into our genie in some places. Where in some of my friends' camps, our Pentecostal friends and our charismatic friends, oftentimes we treat the authority that we think we have as though it's inherent to us, that I can just use it willy-nilly. But we forget that there's someone on the throne who's distributing that authority. That is my struggle, is we sometimes put Jesus as a good teacher or a good moral person, but we don't recognize that he is actually the king of the universe. When Jesus came to earth, Jesus set aside his divine privilege. So in his humanity, he did not act as God, but he still was God. And that's why when we see in the ministry of Jesus, when he's baptized by the Holy Spirit, he is both human and God, but he's allowing himself to work through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's modeling a life of humanity with the Spirit. But that is not who Jesus is now. Jesus is not just a human with the Spirit. He is now exalted at the right hand of the Father. When he finishes this ministry, he goes to his death. He takes our sin, he substitutes your sin, and he takes it upon himself. But this is all what we were talking about with when he went to talk with Satan in the wilderness. Satan says, I will give you all of the nations if you would bow down and worship me. Jesus says, no, I will worship God alone. But what he ends up doing is he takes on the thing that holds us in bondage to Satan's kingdom. He defeats sin. When he dies, he takes a sin upon him, and that breaks the curse for you and me. It destroys that barrier that when we come to Jesus, we are removed from our sin, and therefore Satan is defeated. Jesus is reclaiming the nations. So when he dies and he resurrects on the third day, he turns to his disciples and he says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you even until the end of the age. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is king over heaven and earth. That is the point that we need to recognize. This is the thing that we see the centurion recognize. There's an authority on that man. But we as Christians have a wider view. Jesus is sovereign. And now, as king, he has called us into the story. He has distributed his authority to us that as we minister and as we love our neighbor, as we make disciples, the world is made right. Jesus is making the world right by us walking this life out with him. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit, and we are to connect in a relationship with God. And out of that, he is making the world right. He is making the world new. Which leads me to my second point. Our faith is in a person, not in an outcome. We are not coming to God to get things. We are not coming to God and having faith to receive something. We are coming to God because we recognize who he is. And who he is merciful. Who he is good. Who he is love. When we change the way that we think about that, because sometimes what we do is we say, I have faith that God's going to give me these things. What I want us to do is to say, I believe that God is good, and because of his goodness, he gives his children blessings. You see the distinction there? That is what we're supposed to do. As a Protestant and not a Catholic, I also want to say that faith is not a work. Faith is a recognition in Jesus' authority. And we are to understand his authority for today. This is what Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says. Is that he is the faithful witness, speaking of Jesus, to these things. The first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by the shedding of his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. This is who Jesus is. He is the king of the universe now. He is ruling and reigning over everything today. We are to acknowledge him because he is healing, he is saving, he is setting us free. He is setting free those who are in bondage to sin. He is healing those with bodily ailments, with mental, emotional, and spiritual conditions that are negative. He is the one who sets us free. And our faith is in a person, not a result. It is also to understand and he is coming back, that you and I might be healed today, you and I might be saved today, but we're still going to struggle at times because we are still in a world of brokenness. We are still in a condition where we have temptations. We still live in a world that is subject to sickness and disease. So even though God can heal us and set us free, we are also still going to struggle until he returns. But when Jesus returns, then he will set everything to right. Then everything that is broken in this world will be made new. Sin will no longer exist. Sickness and disease will no longer exist. Death will be overthrown, and you and I will live forever with him. He will right the wrongs of humanity. He will right the wrongs of Satan. And you and I will live forever in his peace and his joy. That is who we have faith in. That is our blessed hope. We are awaiting his return. So our faith is in a person, not an outcome. Let me make my last point, my third point. Jesus gives us his authority. Now, I mentioned this a moment ago, but let me recount it and kind of go back a little bit. In the vineyard, we do not look at authority the same way that our charismatic and Pentecostal cousins do. We are a part of the charismatic movement. We are a part of the continuationist movement. We believe that God does do the work. But the difference between us and maybe a charismatic or a Pentecostal is we don't believe that we have an inherent authority on our life. Meaning, I don't have my own authority to do as I will. I don't wake up in the morning and say I decree or I declare and I prophesy. When I believe that the Lord is doing those works, I believe it is a work of the Spirit. I believe that it is not something that I can do of myself. It is, I believe that the Holy Spirit fills me, and then I prophesy. I believe that he fills me, and then I pray for the sick. I believe that when he fills me, then there is power. Then there is authority. But I don't inherently have my own. I am underneath his authority. In Luke chapter 9, we see the disciples are told to go out into ministry, and it says that Jesus gives them authority to go heal the sick and to cast out demons and to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near them. It is Jesus distributing his authority. And when we are doing ministry, when we are loving our neighbor, when we are doing these things, when we lay our hands, God may give us his authority and he may heal the sick and he may save those we are loving and those who are evangelizing. It is his will that we are stepping into and it is his decree that we're following. That is the distinction that I want to talk about. Or that I talked about. I don't know if I need to continue talking about this. But with that said, I'm going to have our ministry team come down. I'm going to have our worship team come down. Tonight, in a few minutes, we're going to sing one last song. But I want to impress upon us a few things. Jesus is the authority of the universe. And Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus heals you. That is what we see in Scripture. And so tonight, if there is an area in your life where you need to recognize his authority and come to faith in, if you need a healing in your body, if you need a healing in your mind, if you need a healing in your emotions or your spiritual condition, I invite you during this song to come forward and get your hands laid on you. Or if you're like the centurion and you have a friend that you know is struggling, you can say, hey, Lord, I know you have authority and I know that you, just like the centurion, can heal my friend. So I invite you during this time to come forward and get prayed for. But we're going to sing one last song. And I impress upon you to put your faith in Jesus, to recognize that he is the Lord. And he wants to set you free. And he wants to love you. And he wants to call you into his own. I bless you. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I give you all my worship. And I pray tonight that your spirit would come and do a mighty work. Would you heal us tonight? Would you set us free? Would you do a great and mighty thing in our hearts? Would you transform us? Would you empower us to minister to others? In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to the True North Vineyard podcast. We hope that you are blessed by this message. To connect with us, be sure to visit our website, vineyardtruenorth.churchcenter.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True North Vineyard. We hope to see you soon.